UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Well, not quite Nikki V here. Bobby V's just coming down the hallway. He and Andy are having an impromptu meeting in the hallway about the New York Jetropolitans, I believe. But might as well. I mean, anytime I have to take the reins and talk, I might as well remind you about some of the great programming coming up right here on ESPN Louisville. U of L football, Coors Light, pre- and post-game shows tomorrow. Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville will provide the latest coverage for U of L's matchup with Western Kentucky. Pre-game starts at 2 p.m. Post-game immediately to follow after the game's conclusion. You'll hear from head coach Scott Satterfield to get locker room sound and much, much more. Your calls, your text, all that good stuff. Immediate reaction. Bobby V walking into the studio. But also on the blue side, and I'll be a part of this. This is kind of fun. Kentucky football taking on Florida Saturday. Be sure to catch the Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance pre- and post-game shows with me, James Strebel, and Jason Entz. I'll actually be down there with Entz helping gather sound. I might add my two cents as well. You might be able to get some fun tailgate sound as well. That was exciting last year when we were down there for the Georgia game, just wandering around. We'll see. No promises, but it'll be Strebel, it'll be Entz, it'll maybe be me, but it'll definitely be Mark Stoops in locker room sound, much, much more. That'll come to you immediately after the final whistle. Pre-game will start at 6 p.m., by the way. And, yep, Colts football, ESPN 680, 105.7, your official home for the Indianapolis Colts in Louisville. Colts at Titans, pregame coverage beginning 12 on Sunday on ESPN 680, 105.7. The Ravens, they're going to be on 93.9 The Bill, your official Ravens broadcast partner in the 502. Lamar and the Ravens, presented by Liquor Barn. Download their app and have Liquor Barn deliver to you. Also brought to you by Molly Malone's, home of the Lamar Bar. It'll be the Cardinals at the Ravens, 12:30 on 93.9 The Bill. All right.
With it's not home of the Lamar Bar. It's the Lamar Bar.
Oh,
it's the bar to watch Lamar. It's not selling candies.
Oh, well, I had this image.
That sounds like delicious. I'd like a Lamar Bar, maybe with a baby.
Well, maybe I thought maybe it was like a bar, and then the bartenders would hop over it, like he hurdled that one dude and give you your beer. That'd be kind of cool.
So when they catch their foot on the bar and they throw the beer on
that,
your
head. That is a glorious lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Also, New York Mike, he always gives us his picks for the weekend. He is on. One might as well set up the rest of the show, too. Now that we're done with the syndicated part of it, we can get all red and fun. No, I'm just kidding. Stop using the mic as a razor.
Sorry.
We've talked about this.
Sorry.
Just make sure you spray that. Poor Andy. That's how you get mono.
You
want mono,
that's how you get mono. You get more, mono gets spread more from sharing water bottles than it does from kissing. I don't know if that's true, but that's what a texter said.
Well, we do both of them a lot here, so we're all going to go down with mono. But no, New York Mike is on hold to give us his picks. Coming up at 2:20, Paul Biancardi will join and give us the latest, a little 2 cents on the Kentucky recruiting. They got...
See what I said today?
I keep saying Lance Storm. You'll roll your eyes at this. Lance Storm, do you have any idea who that is? I keep saying that yes. That's who
anybody, whenever that's my default guess, just like 2 Chainz. It's whenever I don't know when you bring a name up, it's got to be
a wrestler or a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. But
well, he'll also talk about Terrence Clark, and maybe
I was very proud of what I did. I'm sure I was hoping somebody Big Blue Nation would see it, and no, it was meant good naturedly. So
also, we have Sagarin's too. There we go. That wraps it up.
Respond. Terrence Clark said, "I'm making my announcement open to the public. You know all that," and most of the people responding are BBN people, excited, and then some Boston College people put something on there, and so I put a big logo of Virginia Wesleyan College and said, "Maybe."
That's awesome.
I don't think he's going there, but you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Shoot your shot.
I want to get back to the Justify thing in just a minute, so we'll do that after New York Mike, because he's been holding, and it's not polite to make him just stand there, so we'll get to him.
And Paulie B, back-to-back Paisans.
And then I'll get to the Justify thing, and then we'll make our picks. Could you print the what you did last week for me?
The Sagarin's?
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, no, I can definitely do that. You're not going to be hearing from me much this hour.
No, all right.
No. Seriously, we can do this. We can do this. Just don't talk to me.
I. Here he is, New York Mike, ready to go and make money for your soul. By the way, Mike, I went to the OTB in Clarksville last night with the sports book. Very impressive. Extremely impressive.
I know. They better bring it here soon, you know?
Yeah, well, good luck. We got to go to Frankfurt and petition the government, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But all that money's going right across the bridge. It's going to be really popular.
Hey, you don't want me going up there, because you have to send me a cake with a file in it.
Is there a picture of you at the border when you go over the bridge in Indiana? Don't let this man in. Is that what it says?
Two of them. One me going and one me coming back.
All right. Well, you've been on a bit of a roll, although we had some debate.
I'm 20-4.
Okay, that's fair. All right, that's fair. Yes, you were being honest.
20-4, but you know what? You know what put a little smile on my face when Carolina lost last night?
Why is that?
You said a guy called in. He heard me three times on the radio when he heard me call Carolina.
But you know what? I owe him and you an apology. I didn't realize the text come in so fast. That was an old text from like 2 weeks ago. So he did not hear you yesterday. So in his defense, he was not.
I didn't get it 2 weeks ago. So now we got mine late.
All right, well, there you go. So anyway,
can I give you?
Go ahead.
I got some information for you and your listeners that I think would help.
Okay.
Can I give it to you?
Sure.
Nick, you got a pen?
I got a pen. I got one in my hand here. Nick's busy.
I'm going to give you the number to the property tax. If you're 100% disabled or 65 or older, they'll take $39,600 off of your appraisal when they do the property tax. All you got to do is call this number. You ready?
I'm ready.
574-6380.
Okay, you have to
Tell them what you need. And they'll send you a paper to fill out, and you got to send a copy of your driving license to prove that you're over 65.
So over 65, and you get how much off your property tax? That's a significant amount of money.
$39,600.
All right. I don't know how they come up with that number, but that's very good. So
well, I don't know either, because you know I got it. I got the paper. I filled it out, and they did it. I'm good to go. But I think if you're 100% disabled. Or over 65.
Oh, very good.
You got the phone number. All you got to do is ask for the paper to be sent to your house.
Very nice. All right, good enough. All right.
I'm going to give you some. Try to make you some money now. You ready?
I'm ready. Are we doing college or NFL or both? What are we doing?
I gave you the college Wednesday. It was Michigan State plus 14 and Syracuse plus 28. Remember?
Yes, I do remember that now. Okay, go ahead. So the all NFL
now,
ones.
I'm not going to try to be a smart guy today. I'm going with one game, which I've been doing the whole season.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You were smart. Like, that is what smart gamblers say. Don't play a lot of games. You work against yourself. Pick a game or two games you like and get on those. So what do you got for us this week?
I'm emptying my pockets for Oakland plus 7 against KC is visiting Oakland. -7.
They are.
It started out. What's that?
I said that is exactly the number I got here, too. Oakland plus 7 at home against Kansas City. That's an old rivalry game, too, going all the way back to the AFL.
Beautiful. You know what? That's going to be a bloodbath.
It usually is.
Like I said, Tyrell Hill is out, you know? So I don't know what game change that's going to do for the Raiders, but it's going to be a good one.
All right. Fair enough, my friend.
Hey, have a good time on Monday, please.
All right, we will. Take care of yourself. Have a good weekend, Mike. Thanks so much. New York Mike with us here. So the picks are Michigan State plus 14, Syracuse plus 28, and the Oakland Raiders plus 7. I notice he takes underdogs a lot, which is probably good. Most gamblers like to look for the game where you're getting points and you think you got a chance to win outright. So maybe now I'm not sure Syracuse has a chance to win, but we'll see how that plays out. On this matchup, and I think I said that wrong. Let me double check one thing here. Yeah, I know I said it wrong. I said it is Michigan State laying. Actually, it's 15 according to this. I hope that doesn't change his pick. But Michigan State laying 15 at home against Arizona State, and Syracuse getting 28 is the number that I had last. Let me see if that's still the number. 28 points against Clemson at home. It's actually 27.5 now, so Syracuse must have been getting some play in that. But there you go. So, and you can play those, right? All you do is go across the bridge and you go into the winner's circle, exit 2. And there you go. Guy says, Mike is legit, authentic. He is. He's the real deal. I'll tell you that. There's no – he's not exactly a phony, that's for sure. I need to see what New York Mike looks like. I picture a small Joe Pesci-like man. I don't think that's particularly accurate. Paul Biancardi is going to join us. Then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to do Sagarin picks. Let me see what else I'm doing here. I want to get into the Justify thing just a little bit because way more than I anticipated, chatter, response, lots of texts about that. Let me see. Homestead Act, R.E. Mike. Let's see. 39,000. Homestead Act regarding New York's Mike, $39,600 off the house value. Okay, that's what it is. It's the Homestead Act. Okay, it wasn't. If that's what it was, I'm not qualified. Let's not rush me. I'm not at 65 yet, but that's quite a significant savings for you if that's true. Let's see what we're talking about with Paul Biancardi here. We are. Tight end Jordan Reed out for week 2 again. He's my fantasy team.
I told you not to pick him up.
No, I'm going to have him and hang on to him until he gets healthy. Vernon, his backup, Vernon Davis, was one of my better players week 1. The guy was great.
Is that a tight end handcuff, then, I guess?
What's that mean?
I think
when you have two guys at the same team in the same position?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did. Up, well, I you know, got him, keeping in mind that the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons, presented by Ronzoni Pasta, have certain things that they're committed to, and they put their roster together.
That's a good point. Compete on Northeastern teams.
Yeah, so I had to get into the Northeast. So Vernon was terrific.
Who
knows
on staying out of Pennsylvania, though?
What do you mean?
Just a man needs to have principles.
I don't stay out of Pennsylvania.
Oh, you do? Oh, you don't?
I draft Eagles, and I draft. I don't draft the
Pittsburgh's
Steelers.
Pittsburgh's okay. They're nice people, but Philly.
What are you trying to piss off? Process?
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. Paul Biancardi has nothing to do with Philadelphia, but he joins us right now. I had no other segue to come up with. So,
Paul, hey, Northeastern Pasta, you're speaking my language.
There you go. That's right. You should be. You might want some souvenirs from our team, from the Empire Electrons.
I'm getting hungry just listening to you guys.
Where did you grow up exactly?
I grew up in East Boston, Massachusetts.
But I mean, in Boston or in a little town just outside Boston?
No, a little town within Boston. It's where they land the planes, Logan Airport. I was born right next to the airport.
Really? Well, I did not know that. All right.
It's right next to the Italian, the North End district of Boston. I'm sure you heard of that when you've come in town for your games.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The famous North End district. Yep.
Yes, that's a nice Italian neighborhood there. You get some good eats up there, buddy. That's some good work. Let me ask you a question non-related to recruiting before we start. It's not like you ignore it, but I know it's not really your like it was for Franny necessarily, the foreign market, but it's worth talking about because once again, you know, it's time to discuss it because the U.S. is going to play in quite literally the most meaningless of the medal round games. I mean, they're in the consolation bracket, and they're in the loser's game of the consolation bracket, so they're playing Poland to try and finish seventh. And the talk is, again, well, what does it say about American basketball? What does it say about international basketball? Obviously, we didn't send our A-list players, and I can't fault them for that. If they were to go to this, then it would be another year next year when they go to the Olympics. They would be playing 2 years year-round. That's going to be a tough task. But what did you make of the results? And again, what is the takeaway? Is it a combination of the gap being made smaller and the fact we didn't send our A players, or just the fact we didn't send our A players? Or what did you make of it?
I think it's what you exactly said, Bob, the combination of the rest of the world has gotten better in basketball, whether it's China, Europe, all over the place. They've just, the game has grown, the training has gotten better, and we're a marked country when it comes to the game, because we're supposed to be the leaders in the game. So I think everybody gets up for us all the time, and we didn't send our A team, but we sent some really good players. We had some injuries. And I think the injuries played a big part. I know Tatum was hurt, and there was one more injury, I believe.
Yeah, Joe Harris. Who, I can't remember who the other injury was.
Yeah. So we had some injuries. We didn't have our A team. I don't know if we practiced as long as they do for this. You know, we all know each other in this country. The players all know each other since grassroots basketball. But playing together and developing a chemistry and a harmony, you know, that takes more than just a month.
Yeah, it does. But I don't know that they're playing together. I mean, they got guys from various NBA teams out there also. I don't know that they're playing together any more than we are. It's not like the old days. I mean, they get guys.
No, but they have an IQ of the game, Bob. That's the one thing I think when I watch European basketball, their IQ of the game is strong at a young age. And they can read each other so well.
That's true.
I think our guys are still learning how to read the game and play the game with a basketball IQ. When I talk to NBA scouts and they talk about how little our kids know from high school to college, how they don't know how to play, how they can't think the game and play the game until they've been groomed at it for a couple of years in the pro game. So I think European basketball has a major advantage in that department, and I think that's what wins games.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's something to that. Let me ask you, what are you doing? You're in Houston. What are you doing?
I'm in Houston. I have my basketball camp here Saturday and Sunday.
Nice. So who comes to this little shindig?
Whoever wants to sign up, get better in the game. I got 8th graders through 12th graders. I got about 80 kids signed up right now. And we'll do it 2 days. So it's like a college practice in the morning from 9 to 12. Then we break, and then we go 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, no dribbles, which is my favorite. And then we play games of 5-on-5. And then we discuss, you know, recruiting and what college coaches look for. We do it again on Sunday. It's a great 2 days. It really is. And it, for me and for someone like yourself, it gets us back on the court.
Yeah, that's fun. That is, I agree with that. I'm amazed when you run basketball camps, you know, the week-long ones, when you're doing them, you think, oh, my God, it's like being in the military. It's just, but now I haven't done them, I miss them a little bit. It's kind of fun. There's some sort of sense of, I don't know what the word would be, the hands-on experience.
It is, and Bob, I'll tell you what, I think it's missing. It went away for a while in our grassroots game. The skill trainers became so popular, but the more I watch kids work out with trainers, the more I see robotic-type basketball, not to take anything away from a trainer, but I think you have to have some live defense and you have to have some other bodies on the floor. You can't just teach people how to make moves. You got to teach them how to read the game, which we talked about with the European players, and how to move without the ball. That's the biggest thing that I'm going to emphasize this weekend, is the ability to pass, cut, and screen.
Yeah, I need. There's some different vibe when you're working in a camp. You're living with everybody. Even if it's just a day camp, you're spending the day, you're eating lunch, you're, I don't know, you work with a skill trainer. There's a lot of, it's like being on your phone. it's like you're interacting, but you're not interacting.
You know what? One last thing on this. You could teach somebody how to make a move. You could teach somebody how to make a dribble move, make a shot move, but it's no good unless you know how to get open.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right about that. We're talking to Paul Biancardi from ESPN. Let's talk about the news. It's now a couple of days old. Lance Ware coming to Kentucky. You had kind of hinted at that last time you were with us, but again, for the people who weren't with us listening that day, what does he bring to the table for Kentucky's team?
you're getting a forward in the mold of an E.J. Montgomery type in terms of left-handed, a face-up guy, really mobile. I love his mobility. I like his activity. And he's a high-percentage guy inside of 12 or 15 feet. His jump shot needs work behind the arc if he's going to stretch people out. But he can really score, like at the elbows and at the mid-post, gets on the glass. I like him as a multiple-year, probably a four-year guy at Kentucky, but productive. Points and rebounds, and he gets steals because he's light on his feet. Really good pickup for Cal, and a guy who kind of climbed up the charts, if you will, had a great summer at the Peach Jam. Now, you know how good the Peach Jam is with competition. In five games, Bob, he shot 52% from the floor. Now, some of those, yes, were breakaway layups, but a lot of those were against defenders and defense in a 5-on-5 setting. He's a high-percentage shooter inside the arc.
Well, Kentucky, very much in the news for another guy you visited with us about last time, and there really is not a lot of doubt, even though he hasn't formally announced it, that Terrence Clark is going to go to Kentucky, is there?
I don't think so. I think something crazy would have to happen, but we've both been around long enough where kids, you know, they put their hand on one hat and then they move their hand to another hat at the last second. A lot of conversations are going to be going on in the last 24, 48 hours for Terrence Clark, but if the buzz is correct, he'll end up at Kentucky. And let me tell you this, wherever he goes, difference maker. Now, he's a different level kid. He's in the class of 221. He's going to probably reclassify to 220. He's 18 years old right now. Wherever he goes, count him as a difference maker.
Paul Biancardi from ESPN with us. What is Jalen Green's status and Australia? We've talked. You and I have talked about this. About is this going to be something we see more often with kids just going overseas, or what is the status? Is he definitely going? Is it likely he's going? What do you make about that?
Well, he's going through the recruiting process right now, but my sources close to him say he's really looking at going to Australia. Or possibly New Zealand, to follow that professional route similar to an R.J. Hampton, where he can make a lot of money and just gear himself to get ready for the NBA. Kentucky in the mix, Kansas, Arizona, Oregon, I think Florida State, Memphis as well. He's a great scorer. He's a 6'5", best athlete we have in the class. And I think a lot of these guys today, Bob, are going to look at that route if they can combine their salary plus sneaker money. And you're talking about anywhere from $500,000 to maybe $1 million, guys that may not want to go to class right now in their lives. It's a situation where I think it's appealing to some guys, and I think you're going to see some guys exercise the option or wait till the end and find out. He's going to be a late commit no matter what.
See, I not only agree with you, I think I see the scenario where if a guy goes to Australia and then comes back and becomes a star in the NBA, I think that's the one thing everybody's waiting on, is the one guy to affirm that it's a route you can take and be an NBA star.
Well, I agree with that, but the flip side of that is if Jalen Green went to college here for 1 year and then went in the NBA, I think his draft status would be the same, and his impact in the NBA would probably be the same. I don't know if Australia or New Zealand or China makes you a draft pick. I think what it does is it makes you collect some cash ahead of time.
But I think that's the whole
that's
point.
That's what it does.
I think that's the whole point.
Money,
I get money. This is the microwave society. I want the money now, pal. Let me get my shoe money. Let me get a decent amount of salary. And I'll come back. And so if it's a little harder, that's okay. I'll make it work.
Yeah, and the flip and the other option kids have is the G League. Now, he would be an ideal candidate for the G League in their eyes in terms of that salary of, I believe it's $120,000 plus some endorsements. But when you're talking $120,000 plus endorsements playing in Fort Wayne, Grand Rapids, a small town throughout the United States, and not traveling on a high-level budget in terms of travel and comfort, because I talked to George Niang about that, a Boston kid who played at Iowa State.
Yep.
You know, he said the difference between, you know, training table was filet mignon for the NBA and peanut butter and jelly for the G League. and he wasn't making it up. He said that's what it is. And he says the worst part about it, you got to make your own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He says at least in the NBA they serve you the filet mignon. So it's just different options for these kids. The most money is in foreign countries right now for the high-profile player. And Jalen Green will probably wait it out to see how R.J. Hampton does and then what they're going to offer him as he goes through the recruiting process here.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not disputing anything you say in terms of the preparation and building your brand. I mean, you know, if you're a real star like Zion, I mean, it's hard to dispute. There's not a place in the world he could have gone and had his brand built like it was playing at Duke for a year. But yeah. I think that, you know, these guys just staring at saying, wait a minute, I can get, like you said, you're going to give me $1 million in shoe money plus the salary they're going to give me, and then I can come back and go in the, rather than go to class. And, I mean, I know it's not NBA, but it's probably not a whole lot worse than playing in college. I mean, it's the highest level of ball in those countries is decent. And you, for a year to get $1 million, I don't, you know, most of these kids haven't made $1 million in a year before. So it's probably a pretty good deal for them.
I think it's a bigger adjustment, though, Bob. The game is much more physical.
That's true.
Playing with professionals.
Yeah, you're playing with men.
Yeah, you're playing with men who want to make more money themselves. So the best way they do that is by performing well. So if they can lock up or shut down or stop a star from the United States, you know, you're a marked man when you go over there to some degree. The three-point line is deeper, okay? Now, our college line's moving back this year to, I believe, the FIBA line. But the game is just played over there with a different IQ and a different style. And I think it's a huge adjustment basketball-wise and obviously living-wise. I think it's much easier here, even though there's a learning curve if you go to Kentucky or Kansas or Louisville or Duke. I think the adjustment is easier here, and the publicity is greater to college. I still like the college route, but believe me, if somebody was going to offer my son that type of money, it would have to be his decision if he wanted to go and do that.
What's your read on the one and done for the NBA? I keep hearing it's going to go away, but then I don't know for sure it is, and I hear it may not go away. And, you know, again, that's not an NCAA deal. People always talk about it like it's an NCAA deal. That's an NBA deal. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, from the people I speak to, the high school players will go from high school right to the NBA, and then everyone who goes into college, I believe they're going to make them stay for a minimal amount of time, whether it's 2 or 3 years, or
really?
Maybe it's going to be an age, you know, maybe an age gap. I don't know if they're going to allow kids to go to college. I'm talking about the NBA now, and then say, okay, after a year you come out. It may be, okay, the best players come on out now, and everybody else, you know, go back in and develop, and if you're good enough, we'll draft you over time.
It's kind of like the baseball. It's kind of like the baseball model, Paul, kinda, right? A little
yeah,
bit.
It is. I don't think they've put an actual period on that, but what I do know is when the high school kids can go to the pros, a lot are going to explore it, and many are going to take it. Some are going to be successful, and some are going to end up over in Australia, New Zealand, Spain, Greece, maybe the G League. And our college game will still be very good. I think we'll have better teams because guys will be playing for multiple years, and we'll still have star freshmen. We just won't have the superstar freshmen.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But the times they are changing because I mean I just read today South Carolina is thinking of jumping on board with California in this Fair Pay for Play Act, and you know it's going to take is a couple of years to jump a couple of other states to jump on board, and it's going to rack the NCAA. They're going to have to do something. They can't just sit by and say, okay, half the schools are not going to be eligible to play for our championship. They're going to have to. So that's why I'm suggesting it doesn't mean it's going to be good nor bad, but it's going to be different. We're in a time of change.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and once one state does it, other states will jump on board, and I think you'll have a national change at that point. And I think it'll be great for the game. I really do.
I do too.
I think it'll be great for the recruiting game, and I think it'll be obviously the best for the players. And that's we got to keep them in mind when we make all decisions. We keep everybody else in mind. I think this really helps the players and their families.
How'd you pick Houston, by the way, for your camp? You're not from Houston and you don't live in Houston. How'd you go down there?
I just go to different cities throughout the United States. I travel a lot. So I like Houston. It's a big basketball area. They're really big on the game. And I have a facility and some coaches down here that I know. So we'll do a little coaches clinic at nighttime. And I just try to go to different cities. I'm waiting for Louisville to host my basketball camp. Let's get that started.
You know what? I'm dead serious about that. You tell me if I can help you do that. Well, I'll be happy to try and put it together. We promote it here on the show, and I'm dead serious. You come down here, and we'll do it. I'd love to try and help you with that. That'd be great. So
If I can't change the game, at least I can try to help the players.
Well, there's some players around here that would be more than happy to have you instruct them, I'm quite sure. So that would be great. Hey, listen, it's good to talk to you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your camp. Teach a lot of kids. Create some stars. And we'll talk to you real soon, Paul. Thanks so much.
All right, Bobby. Thank you.
All right, Paul being quiet. I'm dead serious. I mean, my guess is he'd probably deal with Dino and Troy. Well, I don't know. He's not allowed to do that, I don't think, actually. He has to work with AAU guys. I don't think he can work with the school guys. So why can't I get in with there? I would like to help him.
Start an AAU team. The Empire Electrons.
There we go.
On the hardwood.
That'll work. I'm here to tell you about my friends at Genesis Diamonds because they are my friends. You know, when you hear Genesis Diamonds, I'm hopeful. You think, what a value, because they give you amazing prices with no middleman markups. They simply give you bigger and better for less because they buy direct, they pay in cash, they get the best deals, and they get the best diamonds because, frankly, they turn down the inferior diamonds. They only get the very, very best of the best. Sometimes the diamonds that you see at the big mega stores or online, those are the ones that Genesis already turned down. So if you want the best diamonds, and you know, it's funny, I did not know as a layperson you could see such a difference. And this is not them pressuring me at all. I was buying a diamond as a gift for the lovely Darlene, and I looked at it, and I was just about to close the deal on it, so to speak, and I looked at the case right next to it, and I said, wow, that diamond looks way clearer. And of course, he took it out of the case and he explained to me why. And he showed me, and when I looked, I could see it. And the first one was pretty, but the second one, I began to understand why it was, the clarity was even more pronounced. And you really can notice it. And I wound up buying that one and still got a fantastic deal. But again, no pressure, no upsell, so they make a bigger commission. But it was so much fun to understand the whole process. He explained it to me, showed it to me, and you could see it, and that was very, very cool. So the whole experience is great. When you walk in, from the minute you walk in the place, you know, you feel like your family. I don't use that lightly. I hate those. Join the family of, you know, muffler owners or something. What is that? There's no family. You're a customer. But here it is about the people. It's buying jewelry, especially for very special occasions, is a very significant thing in people's lives. You're buying an engagement ring. You're buying a wedding ring. You're buying an anniversary ring, anything. It's significant, and you want people who you feel like they're actually hearing you and not just selling at you, and that's kind of how it works here. You get offered a refreshment when you walk in the door. They love to answer your questions. They're not just trying to hurry you along, and they, as I said, are looking to make a customer for life, not try and get as big a commission as they can because they don't get commissions. They're salaried experts, and they will take care of you. You get the designer ring that you want, that she wants, because they've got the designers you won't find at other places. They've been selected by the world's top bridal designers to be an authorized retailer, and Genesis has over 4,000 rings to choose from. Handcrafted quality rings in every style imaginable. Genesis Diamonds is the official jeweler of both the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats. Find out what makes it such a special shopping experience. The quality, the experience, the selection, the price, all of it puts it on a whole different level at Genesis Diamond, Shelby Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's. Come back, and I think we got some Sagarin action for you. But before we do that, I do want to get into this. The Justify story, which elicited so much response from our listeners yesterday. So obviously there is some interest in it. And I really do think that, I'm not going to make Baffert out to be the victim here. Because there is some compelling, I understand there are people that have an agenda here. There are people that love horse racing that now, you know, think that anything that comes up that's critical of it, they immediately want to try and discredit. And I don't think that's particularly useful either, because it has some problems that have to be addressed. And you can't just out of hand say, well, anybody who criticizes us is a PETA, you know, radical that wants to do away with the sport. I don't think that's necessarily true. But I also do think there are people who have an agenda, and they are doing everything they can to fan the flames on this and try and make it sound like, oh, this is as horrible a thing as could go on. I feel bad for Baffert in this regard, that I think right now he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. And so there's not much he can say about it, because the simple fact of the matter is almost anything he says is going to sound like a version of "my dog ate my homework." And if he stays silent, then he's just going to have to endure the people carving him up one side and slicing him down the other as if he's been cheating. And so you can't win that battle. And why I say I feel bad for him is because that's a California Racing Commission problem. They are the ones that, in my mind, are understandably getting criticized the most because they just bungled how they handled the whole thing. I mean, honest to God, I really believe if they had come out and said right after the race, you know what, this is something that's been on our docket for a long time, the discussion about how detrimental this drug really is. And we think this horse is an extraordinary horse, and we would hate to compromise his Triple Crown chances over something that may very well have been accidental. But I understand it may fly in the face of what we've done in the past. But you know what this has done? It's been the catalyst for us to examine what the policy is, straightforward, and tell you what it is and say, you know what? In the past, this has been a disqualification and a forfeiture of the first prize and the purse. We're not doing that anymore. And here's the reason why. And if you want to read into it, go ahead. But they are looking like they're in control of the thing. Instead, hush, hush, 4 months later, very quietly, they try and change the rule and change the policy and look as if everything was done, you know, on a sneak. That benefits nobody, and Baffert the worst, because when he says, "I didn't pressure anybody to change the decision," I think that's true, but he's also got a business relationship of some note with the head of the commission. You don't have to, if Nick is in trouble somewhere, and I'm in a position where I can get him out of the trouble, he doesn't need to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, can you help me here?" It's kind of implied that I'm going to try and help him. Well, it's the same thing. If you have that kind of relationship with the guy who's the chair, you know, the guy's going to help him. And that, and when the help looks like, well, they didn't report it, they reported it late, then they changed the rule, there's a fishy smell. And to make it worse, whether you or I or anybody thinks it's fair, the sport is under siege. And when you're under siege, you better dot all your I's and cross all your T's. And this looked horrible. That's my takeaway from it, is it's a shame. Now, whether or not they gave him this, and there's vets that say they had to, it couldn't just be from the contaminated food, I don't know. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, there's one of two scenarios that have come out of this. If they were not so forceful as to set you straight about why they did what they did, they either did believe that it puts the horse in harm's way, but they didn't want to lose their superstar, and they completely ignored it for this particular case and changed the rule, and just they basically compromised their own belief that it's detrimental to the horse and looked the other way. That's a bad look for the sport. If that's not the case, they look tremendously disorganized. Because if this is not detrimental to the horse, and this has been a problem that gets in the food and it gets in their bloodstream, and that's the, then they've done, this has gone on since the 1990s. You haven't done a better job of monitoring it than that? So they either look disorganized or dishonest. And because of that, rightly or wrongly, there's always going to be at least a tiny little asterisk next to Justify's name. And that's a shame. Baffert's had so much success. Best of my knowledge, he's never failed a drug test with the Triple Crown horse before. This horse didn't fail the drug test. So it's hard to make it sound like this guy's a chronic cheater. It's always pushing the envelope that way. But it does not make the administration look very good when most of the people perceive there's rampant drug use in the business. And they look, as I said, either dishonest or disorganized, and they can't afford that right now. We'll come back and do the Sagarin picks with a very short break. Thanks for being with us here on ESPN 680 1057. All right, as we wrap up the show, I got to acknowledge this because we're getting a whole slew of texts. And there's some internet chatter, I guess is the term you'd use, that Puma Pass has some sort of an undisclosed injury right now and will not play tomorrow, We haven't been able to get an official confirmation of that, but I think if we go off the air and don't even acknowledge that there's a lot of chatter about it, it looks like we're not doing our job, which is bad, or worse, we're deliberately lying, which is not our job either to sort of do that.
I've but seen I also turf toe and stress fracture
don't want to be unprofessional, where you're just racing forward with news that you don't have any confirmation. So I can leave it at this with you, that we are hearing the internet chatter that he won't play tomorrow. We don't know even if that's true, although there's a lot of chatter about that, and we don't know what the injury is. As you said, Nick, there's people saying it's turf toe, people saying it may be the start of a stress fracture. We have no confirmation. We're efforting Rocco and the football office to see if they can give us some official stance on it. But we don't ever want to look here like we're not doing our job, and nor do we want to look here like we're lying to you, nor do we want to look like we're completely callous to the university. We got a working relationship with them, and we're not trying to compromise that either. So it's one of those things where you're trying to straddle like four or five different lines. But what it looks like is that there may be some merit to this, and but there's no place I can say so-and-so is reporting or yes, we've got confirmation. What I would suggest you do is as what I always suggest, and let's keep it right here because we're efforting the football office and, they're on the road. So we're trying to track them down and see if we can get some confirmation. And if we do, we'll find out. We're talking about Puma Pass, where a guy just said, I just tuned in. And who are you talking about? The starting quarterback in Louisville's first two games. The chatter, the internet chatter is he's got some sort of an injury and won't play tomorrow against Western. That is the chatter. But we, again, to be very clear, I'm saying it this way because I think as the listener, you're owed the knowledge of what we know without compromising a source or anything. And what we know is this is all based on the chatter. And as I said, we don't want to be not doing our job and talking about things that are obviously of great interest to the people in the community, nor do we want to be lying deliberately to mislead anybody. But we also don't want to be going with a story where we don't have all the facts. So that's where we are. We're in that middle ground. And what I would suggest is keep it here. And my guess, you'll know more during the take when Andy Sweeney comes on, because it's a breaking bit of news. So we shall see. One way or another, they've got another fine quarterback in Cunningham. We'll see what he can do. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Come out and see us on Monday at the Bocce Tournament at the Castle. Raise some money for cancer research. Have a good weekend.
Window World. With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.